Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliani and Steve Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now here's your hosts, Phil Giuliani and Steve Garchar.
Well, welcome everyone. Good evening. Welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here again with my good friend Steve Garchar.
Hi, Phil. It's good to be back with you tonight.
Hi, Steve. Yeah, we've had a couple of week interruption here, and on our last program, we started a teaching, which we're going to finish today, from John chapter 4, a passage that's commonly called the woman at the well. And we're going to continue this evening with where we left off last time, and I thought we might just start with a real quick review, maybe just for a minute or so. And the highlights of the first part of the show, the first part of this teaching, were that Jesus, the scripture says that Jesus had to walk through Samaria. And we pointed out there was always a conflict between the Jews and the Samaritans, and that the Jews would not even walk through Samaria. They would walk around it, and would prefer to go through the areas of where the Gentiles lived rather than go through Samaria. The Samaritans, you probably remember, they had common roots with the Jews. They, in fact, had the same ancestors, but they had intermarried and intermixed with the Assyrians when the Assyrians conquered the area, the northern kingdom of Israel, in 722 B.C., and some of the people were taken to Assyria and then were resettled there, and Assyrians settled there. And after a period of time, you had this group of people called the Samaritans, which were basically mixed Jewish and Assyrian ancestry. So the observant Jews at the time just couldn't tolerate this, and they avoided all contact. And so Jesus went through this area and came to this well, which was in the town of Sychar. And the story goes on to say how he met this Samaritan woman who came to the well, who was an outcast in her community. We're going to get into that a little bit more in a minute, why she was an outcast. But she came there to draw water at noontime. It was the heat of the day. Jesus and his disciples had been walking for some period of time, and they were tired, and they were hungry, and they were thirsty. And the disciples went out to get some sandwiches. And while they were at the deli, Jesus decided he was going to just sit here at the well and rest and encounter this woman who then came to draw water. And interestingly, he starts a conversation with her, which at first is a little bit terse. He lets that go and doesn't address her concerns and her criticisms, but starts to approach her in a way that he mentions that he's a gift from God, and if she recognized who he was, he would give her living water. And he's talking about living water, and she's talking about literal water because they were sitting at a well. And he says, you know, the water I give, if you drink that, you'll never be thirsty. And she basically says, great, give me some of this water so I don't have to keep coming here, because I have to come here every day because I'm thirsty. And that's a thumbnail, rapid-fire summary of what we did last time. And today we're going to take it from there.
Yeah, because what we were talking about was that in this exchange that Jesus has with this Samaritan woman, he's talking to her about the water. He's offering life-giving water. He's talking spiritually. She's mm-hmm. talking carnally.
Yes. You know,
she's in the physical world. He's in the spiritual world. And he asks her in a very important question, go call your husband.
Right.
And this really starts to bring her to the place of looking at her own life.
Yes.
And coming to that place where before we receive that grace and mercy of God, we're placed in that place of acknowledging, I'm a sinner, I've sinned before God, and it's between me and God. It's not between anybody else. And in the depths of our heart, we know that God is holy, we're not, and we ask for God's mercy.
Yes.
And this is what starts to take place. And he says, go call your husband. She says, I have no husband. He says, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And now she says, sir, mm-hmm. I can see that you're a prophet. So he, for this long conversation about water, all of a sudden, yeah. he's a prophet.
Yes, exactly. And as you said, the woman was an outcast in the town.
Right.
So you can imagine in any society in this area of the world, or for that matter, any area of the world, how a woman like this was perceived by
right.
the townspeople, especially the other women. And she literally was an outcast, so she didn't go to the well at the time when all the other women went, because she was the object of all the gossip and all right. the comments, and she was kind of tired of that. She didn't want to deal with that, so that's why she was there at noon.
Right.
But you make a good point of up until this time, this whole interchange, he's talking spiritual concepts, and she's understanding everything as literal about the water, thirsty, I don't want to come here anymore,
right.
tired, it's hot. The other women are gossiping about me all yeah. the time. I wish I didn't have to come here anymore, so give me some of this water so I don't have to come here anymore.
Right.
But now, you know, we talked last time about how you have to meet people where they are.
Right.
And Jesus meets her where she is.
Right.
And she has to be made aware of her situation before any of this can mm-hmm. continue.
And by her wanting to have this life-giving water so she doesn't have to come to the well anymore.
Right.
That's the human nature trying to avoid what our situation is. It, that's really what stands in the way most times of someone coming to that grace of salvation.
Yes.
Or to that gift that God's offering.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, as all of us who have encountered Jesus can say from personal experience, we have to understand our situation before we can go on.
Right.
We have to understand where we stand before God. We have to understand what our condition is.
Right.
Which, you know, many of us try to hide because we have a lot of human pride, and after all, we're well educated, and we have nice jobs, and we have a nice house, and we have a nice car, and I'm actually doing pretty well for myself, where in actuality, the way you stand before God has nothing to do with those things.
Nothing at all.
And so Jesus, and you notice too, the way he presents this is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He leads into her particular weakness, her particular sin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We all have different sin.
Right.
If he would have been talking to me or you that day, he probably would have used a different line.
Right.
If he was talking to, you know, Joe over there, he might have used a different line. But he, of course, knew this woman's weakness and what her background was. And he picks this line, go get your husband, as a lead-in to make her understand what her situation is. She has to be made aware of her condition. Because if you're not aware of your condition, if you don't understand your condition, you can't be healed.
Right.
If you don't think there's anything wrong with you,
right,
you can't be healed.
Right. Most, you know, before I had a conversion experience, I didn't think that I was doing anything wrong. I didn't think I was hurting anybody. And in effect, I did.
I never killed anyone.
Right. that was my rationale. I'm not killing anybody.
Yeah.
And in reality, I would say things that were demeaning to people.
Mm-hmm.
I would say things that were hurtful to people. So, mm-hmm. you know, the tongue is a very powerful thing.
Yes.
You know, you can really do a lot of damage with the words that you say. And that's why in scripture, you know,
the book of James talks about that.
Yeah, say only the good things that men need to hear. But in this regard, when Jesus brings her to this point of recognizing her own situation,
exactly,
he does it in the mercy and the love that God offers.
Yes. He doesn't do it in a, what we might call a judgmental way, although
right.
he is the judge.
Right.
He does it in a direct way, but it's not a rebuke.
Exactly.
He does not say to her, well, listen, if you think you're going to get any of this living water, you can't, because let me tell you something.
Right.
If you don't change your way, if you don't do this, you're not getting any of this. You're going to hell. And that he doesn't do that.
Doesn't say any of that.
He's
and never
meeting
does.
Her where she is.
Exactly.
You know, when we meet people where they are and we're proclaiming the gospel to them, this is a good approach, rather than saying, listen, you're going to hell if you don't do this or you do that.
Right. Well, you know, the fire and brimstone approach sometimes, and we see the disciples wanted to do that. Lord, you want us to call down fire?
Yeah.
No, that you got the whole concept wrong here.
Yeah. I mean, there's a place for fire and brimstone, but this isn't it.
This isn't it, no.
Because, you know, when you're not aware of your situation, that kind of talk causes you to just turn off. Mm-hmm. Say, I don't want to hear this. This guy's a kook. I don't want to listen to this.
Right.
So he approaches it in a way that, number one, leads into it totally unexpectedly. Number two, she can't evade the conversation. She can't evade the situation because they've been talking now for a while.
A while, yeah.
And all of a sudden, go get your husband comes up. Now, what is she going to say? So she says, I have no husband. I mean, what else is she going to say?
Right.
Because she has no way to know that this man she's been sitting at the well with is going to come up with this next line of, well, you've had five husbands, and the guy you're living with now is not your husband.
Right.
We'd like to see the look on her face when he said that.
That would have been interesting. But she does something very interesting. After that exchange, what does she say? Sir, I can see that you are a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say the place for worship is in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. She goes back to the situation between the Samaritans and the Jews.
Yes. Yeah, she likes that.
Yeah.
But in this situation where she's confronted by her sin, you notice she doesn't deny any of it.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't say, well, wait a minute, I can explain, wait a minute. Three of those five guys, you know, I can explain what happened.
Yeah.
She's kind of surprised by the answer. She can't evade it. She can't deny it. And he leaves this to her to kind of think about for a little while. He's kind of leading this out so that her conscience can now, you know, be pricked, as they say. Mm-hmm. Her conscience can now say, wow, I've had five husbands, and now I'm living with this guy who's not my husband. I might have a problem here.
And this guy that doesn't know me knows all this.
Yeah.
And he's a Jew.
Yeah.
And he's not from around here.
Yeah. He's from out of town, and he's passing through, and he knows more about me than those women that are gossiping about me, and they live here.
Right.
So this is quite a thing, but he does it in a gentle way to get to her conscience. And, you know, like I say, it's not a forceful rebuke.
Mm-hmm.
As you pointed out, it's not a fire and brimstone.
Right.
And he gives us a little bit of time to sink in. So now her attitude starts to change a little bit. Because now she calls him sir. Up until this time, she's been kind of testy with him. Mm-hmm. Oh, you Jews don't like us, and we don't like you, and blah, 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 blah. But now all of a sudden she says, sir, I can see that you're a prophet, and shows him respect.
Right.
She kind of has this sense that he's from God and that the conversation kind of now, you know, as you said, she goes into this worship mode. She wants to find out about worship because now she's been surprised by his questions. She's been talking about water. He's confronted her with her sin. So now she's kind of in the situation where she says, wow, I have to take this guy very seriously. Sir, you know, I can see you're a prophet. And people knew, I mean, they were Samaritans, but, you know, like I say, they had common roots with the Jews. They knew what prophets were.
Right.
And a prophet was sent from God with a word from God. And she can see that he's a prophet.
Exactly.
And she wants a little more information from him. You know, she kind of, you know, she gets into this question about worship.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, if this guy's a prophet and he's from God, maybe he can tell me a little bit about worship. And now there's a difference between Jews and Samaritans, as we're going to talk about in a minute. But She wants information about worship. What's the right way to worship?
And that's the sound of worship
right
there.
And that's the sound of worship, the shofar, God's very voice. We're coming up on a break here on the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. We'll be back in just a minute.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word.